This is the Home Tech Podcast, show number 83, recorded on August 2nd, 2012. I am your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live and commercial-free from the AverageGuy.tv studios here in Bellevue, Nebraska, and we post this show each week with world-class show notes out at theAverageGuy.tv. You can contact me or the show, podcast at theAverageGuy.tv, or track me down on Twitter, at Jay Collison. Follow the show schedule whenever we make changes to the show time or date or anything's coming up. It's just at theAverageGuy.tv. We also have all the links to automatically subscribe, download, or stream the audio or video podcast to iTunes, YouTube, Zoom, Stitcher, many of the other podcatchers available on the front page of theAverageGuy.tv. Of course, you can find us now on Reddit, and I'll talk about that here in a second, YouTube, iTunes, Google+, and even Facebook just by searching The Average Guy Podcast. And please leave some comments, likes, votes, plus ones, or any other helpful tidbits while you are out there. And then don't forget something I haven't talked about in a while, but we do have an Amazon affiliate link down out there now on the front page. And we do make a few cents for every Amazon purchase that you make. So if you're going out to Amazon, you're going to buy something anyways, come out to theAverageGuy.tv, click on the Amazon link. It's about halfway down on the right-hand side, and jump through that, and that helps us pay the bandwidth bills for the podcast. I'll remind folks also that we're having a Drobo giveaway contest, and if you haven't signed up yet, what is wrong with you? But if you haven't signed up, head out to theAverageGuy.tv. There's a graphic that says Win a Drobo. And actually, you're going to win this 5-bay Drobo S that's sitting right here.
And I'm announcing it.
And Christian will announce it on the show 2 weeks from today. We are actually doing a combination contest with JPEG DeRaw. So you can head out to NavStudios.com or JPEGDeRaw.com. That's Mike Howard's site. And those two are coming together to give away the Drobo. So if you haven't done it, just head out, click on the Win a Drobo. There's some instructions on how to do that. You have to like my page and head over to JPEG DeRaw and like their page. And then there's other ways you can win as well. I think you can subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can leave comments on iTunes. And there's also some secret way to do it that's not on Facebook. You just have to find it. So do that today. If you haven't signed up yet, get out there. It takes just a second. And Christian will give that thing away on August 16th. Somewhere in the podcast. We're actually going to partner that week with Mike Howard. So on Tuesday, Christian, you, me, and John Stussman will be on JPEG DeRaw talking about it'll be you, me, and Kevin Schoonover on JPEG DeRaw talking about backup and storage and getting beyond a single USB drive for those folks at Mike's podcast. And then on Thursday, the 16th, Mike Howard will join us with his hosts, which will be great. You'll want to be here for that. And that we're going to talk about photography for both beginner and maybe some intermediate stuff. We don't often get to talk about camera technology, and so Mike will be on here to talk about that. Get out there and win your Drobo. We got a lot of people doing that, so get out there and get your name in it. I mentioned Reddit, and recently, I don't know why, but there's been some talk, at least in the circles that I follow about Reddit, and Reddit's just another. It's like a dig. If you're ever into dig or that social site, basically where you can upvote or downvote various articles. And we just created an Average Guy TV, or I think I just called it Average Guy on Reddit. Let me take a peek here. And as a subreddit. And so if you want to go out and follow us on Reddit, if you want to vote our articles up or down, you can just head out to Reddit and search for The Average Guy and find what we're posting out there. Not much more you can do than that, but it always helps to have, I guess a lot of people read that. Christian, do you ever use Reddit? Is that something that shows up in here?
Yeah, actually I never really got into it until one of my friends at school was obsessed with reading it, and so I kind of started looking at it, and it's not bad.
Yeah, reddit.com. It's really just a news aggregator. People submit links in, and then you can vote those links up or down, and based on if it's a good link and you vote it up, the more it gets voted up, the more it shows up on the front page of some of the Reddit subpages or the main page. And right now, if you head out there right now, like the main article, that's at number one. You know what I struggled with on Reddit, Christian, was that the top article right now has 2,145 votes. And the title is, "Oh, Yeah, That Was It," right? And so it was like I started looking at the front page, and I was just like, what are people reading here? So I was asking some some guys and gals at work. I said, you know what? Some 20, you know, they're in their 20s, early 30s maybe. I said, what is this with Reddit? I don't get it. And so I guess what they do is they follow subreddits that are out there, or they follow the politics subreddit and get real specific with that. And they just swear by it. The folks that use Reddit say, that's the greatest thing since sliced bread. Rich, have you ever seen Reddit? Have you been out there at all? Besides
your I have. So yeah, no. I said time waster. Time waster. So I mean, I looked at it, was like, oh, this is cool, but man, I got so many things to do. I can't be watching, or looking at Reddit.
So here's a weird
one. But I hear it. No, it's cool.
Yeah. Here's a weird one. I'm on the front page of Reddit right now, and a link I submitted is number 19 right now. Number 19 right now. And it doesn't even have one vote up. The rest of them have like 977 and 1,000, and then mine is sitting there with one. I don't get it. So if you get Reddit, somebody needs to school me on this, because I don't get it. But yet, everyone, I keep hearing this buzz around Reddit, like it's the best thing since sliced bread and peanut butter. So if you get Reddit and you want to school me on it, send me an email, podcast@theaverageguy.tv, and we may read your email online. All right, real quick, tonight you noticed maybe up in the title bar that we were possibly going to have some invited interns from NASA, and actually they will be next week, and Christian has invited some staff to hopefully join us here shortly, so we'll introduce him when he makes it here. But joining us every week, and my right-hand man and developer behind the site and all things BIOS-mods, Christian Johnson. How are you, Christian?
I'm doing very well. Down to the last work week coming up, and lots to get done.
Yeah,
but it's really been a great time. Fascinating stuff going on, and again, wonderful people to work with. So I'm enjoying every minute of it, and keeping up with getting back to school and thinking about that kind of stuff. So doing well.
Is this Friday your last day?
Next Friday.
Next Friday. So the 10th.
Yeah.
It's been a good summer for you. God, it's gone fast.
It's gone fast, but I've picked up a lot of experience and opportunities that I'm really fortunate to have. So
yeah, well, good. It's been good for you. I know you'll be glad to get back home and to get your senior year wrapped up and then do some fun stuff. Next year is going to go like that for you. Just going to go super fast. So. And then joining us all the way to my right, and he's the guy behind Rich's Random Podcast Generator, and one of the best question asking guys that I know, Rich O'Neill. Rich, how are you?
Good. Why am I here, Jim?
Whoa.
You're here to ask some good questions, Rich.
Okay, I'm here. I'm tired. I am tired tonight.
Yeah, no, both
of them. It's been one of those days where you just put one foot in front of you. It's like I was telling you at the beginning of the show. Man, it's just dragging myself through the day.
Yeah, well, the Olympics have been what has been keeping me up late at night. And
that hasn't helped.
No, yeah. No. So the last two nights I've gotten to bed at like 1 or 1:30 in the morning because we DVR the Olympics so we can, you know, catch them. And then there's like 10 hours of coverage, and you don't want to get behind. So, you know, you start speed, like Sarah. So we use Media Center, Windows Media Center, and we record it. And so Sarah was watching swimming at like 1.5 or 2 times the speed, you know. So they would jump in the water and then they'd speed back and forth. And I don't know what's going on with our video. Does it seem really choppy for you guys as well, or is it just me?
No, you look good. Yeah.
And you guys are hearing me okay?
Yep.
Okay, back and forth, super fast, and then right before the finish, he'd put it back to times one, and then we'd see him finish, and then so we are just ripping through Olympics coverage, and trying to get it done. Her interest has been in the gymnastics, and that again, I think the finals are tonight. So pretty cool to be able. I mean, NBC has taken a lot of heat both on Twitter and in the other social spaces for not doing a great job of bringing those events live. Guys, wow. Would it matter to you guys if they were live?
I mean, wouldn't we be asleep most of the time?
Yeah.
Well, not for the afternoon stuff. It would be the morning here, you know.
Well, you know, my only knock on the Olympics at all is I was looking the other night, and they're not broadcasting in high def.
Really?
I don't think they are.
I'd find that hard to believe.
Okay. I'm probably wrong, but I was watching one live interview, and it definitely wasn't high def. You know, it's got that airbrush look to it, you know what I'm saying? It's not,
Interesting. No, you would think they would have, I don't know, maybe they're just spread thin out there and they can't, not every camera that's high def. I don't know. I would think that would be crazy for them not to have every high def camera. Yeah, they've taken a lot of heat.
I don't know.
There. Christian, are you watching or following the Olympics at all?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really, you know, run to the TV in leaps and bounds to watch it every night, but I kind of keep with it. And basically my only update, it's kind of sad, right? But Yahoo is the only way I stay with it because they actually do a nice job of kind of covering it on their homepage without being a pain about it. So,
yeah. No, they do have good coverage. Yahoo Sports, for whatever reason, is some of the best sports. If you're a sports fan, Yahoo Sports is fantastic. That might be one of the properties that actually makes it at Yahoo with Mercer Meyer there, that they would be wise to build an empire around the Yahoo Sports name for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Mike Howard says I probably wasn't watching in high def. I probably didn't have a high def channel on.
Oh.
Yeah, maybe so. It's possible.
Maybe so.
Well,
a couple things to talk about while we're waiting for our guests to come in tonight. Rich, you and I finally, now you before me, but you and I finally received our update to our phones, Ice Cream Sandwich. You guys, if you follow me on Twitter at all, you know I was just blasting Sprint Cares for about 15 or 16 days until the update finally showed up and came on my phone. It took about only 10 minutes for the update to be applied and my phone to reboot, so it wasn't very long. Did you watch yours update when it did?
Yeah, I don't remember, but that sounds about right. Yeah.
And, Rich, what's been your overall experience on it now that you're – I mean, it seems like I just griped for so long about not having it, and now that I have it,
it's kind of like my face is telling you. It's like double-edged. It's some nice new features. The texting, you know, the actual thumb input texting is better. The voice to text is better. But then there's things that issues that were happening, and I think they're related to account sync. I was getting this one freeze up, and after about maybe 30 seconds, I would get a message. Unfortunately, com.google.process.gapps has stopped working. You know, and I'm trying to use my phone, but for 30 seconds I'm locked out. And then other times I'm experienced lockups where nothing is happening, so I actually have to grab that button and hang on to it until it does a hard reboot. So I think I am starting to get a handle on that. What I did is, want me to tell you what I did about that?
Yeah, do it. Yeah, go.
Yeah, so what I did is for the battery life, somebody was pointing out, they were asking me about the battery life. They says, you know, hey, my phone is getting lousy battery life. And I says, oh, I don't think mine is. And, well, come to think about it, you know. Yeah, I was actually making more effort to keep it charged and keep it, you know, so I was babying that battery to get through the day. So I said, you know, let's get to the bottom of this. So I uninstalled all of these things like Flipboard and Nessun and Facebook Messenger and Tapatalk and AccuWeather and Google Reader, all these things that work in the background. And I installed something called Juice Defender Ultimate. And I'm going to run with the default settings, and it manages the Wi-Fi, manages the background apps, and it manages the data. So the data connection. So we'll see what happens. It's gotten better already. I noticed it has gotten better. I can't be really definitive about like how much better it's gotten, but it's definitely gotten better.
Gotten better with Juice Defender, you mean?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That was something that came with Froyo, and when we upgraded to Gingerbread. You could take it off. It was kind of a worthless tool at that point.
Well, is it the same people that made it? I mean, it probably is Juice Defender,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, no, same exact app.
I'm going to just throw this number off the top of my head, but it's got like about, I don't know, 7 million downloads.
Yeah, so no. I know, but it the for Froyo, the Android guy swore by it. Oh, you got to have this. This will save your battery life. And then when Gingerbread came out, everybody went, you don't really need it that much anymore. It doesn't really do that.
Well, you know what? I think one of the things with some of the earlier OSs was that the modem was just sucking down all kinds of battery power. You know, more than that, I can't tell you. I mean, I'm just kind of going by what I read, but I guess it wasn't a very good modem, so it was kind of like sucking down battery power, working in the background, broadcasting when it should, you know, and transmitting and broadcasting when it shouldn't be. The other things I did is I uninstalled Chrome. I had Chrome on there. I love Chrome on my phone. It's you know, it's exactly the kind of browser or more like the browser I want to have on there. The default browser, I'm not sure what they even call it, but that thing with the blue globe, that's not too bad, but the Chrome kills it. But Chrome, I think, was locking up on me. It would lock up when I was using Chrome. So so I got rid of that. I got rid of, you know, all those other things. And, you know, I'll tell you what. I'm not afraid to flash my phone, and I've done it before. So when this started happening, I took it back to Gingerbread, and I looked at it, and I go, nah, I can't stay here at Gingerbread. I got to go back to ice cream sandwiches, just like going back to XP from 7. So I went back, and you know, I called Samsung, and I called AT&T, and I asked them what they could do for me. You know, before I did all of this flashing, I called AT&T and Samsung, and basically the bottom line is that they do not, you know, first of all, they said there's no way to go back, which, and I told them both, I says, well, you know, we both know that's not true. And, well, I says, I'm looking to you guys for an official way, a sanctioned way to do it, because I want to, you know, stay within, you know, the bounds. And they says, well, you know, there is no way, sir, and so... So I don't know. I'm just
They don't want you.
I'm just disappointed because I mean this is such a good looking new OS, and then you have these like really hamstringing kind of problems with it. So I guess all we can do now is just look forward to Jelly Bean and hope that
Ironically, I got a message as soon as I upgraded. I sent a note out on Twitter. You know, hey, thanks Sprint for updating me to Ice Cream Sandwich. And immediately somebody tweeted back and said, oh, I just got Jelly Bean for my Galaxy fill-in-the-blank, whatever it was, right? Whatever new phone it was.
Right.
I hated Ice Cream Sandwich. I'm like, oh, you know, I'm never going to get – I mean, the Galaxy S2 is never going to get Jelly Bean. So.
Well, I think they are. Okay, you think they're not? I heard they were.
Really?
Well, there's an iPhone 5-inch iPhone coming up too, you know, so we'll see about that too.
Yeah, right, right.
Okay.
Well, it's for me. The Wi-Fi has not worked very well on it. It's locks up on me on times. Not the phone, but the Wi-Fi. I'm in range. It looks like it's got signal, and then I get like I'll be in Facebook, and it'll say I've lost the signal, and it's horribly frustrating. When you know you're like, oh come on, I know I'm on Wi-Fi. At times I've had to shut off the Wi-Fi, go on 3G so I can get you know connectivity to it. So that hasn't been great. I also don't like what they did to the mail apps. A lot more text now is there. They were nice and simple before, and it's almost like they made them too. There's too much data now on the page, and it just overwhelms my. You know, you look at it, it just overwhelms me. And you know, Gmail is bad enough as it is. I'll talk about this a little bit later when we talk about Outlook.com. Yeah. But Gmail interface is horrific at best. On web, the Gmail web.
On the desktop,
yeah, it's horrific at best.
I've come to that conclusion.
Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah,
it's got terrible. Crap everywhere, and
try
and
dragging a picture to it, you know.
Yeah. Go ahead. Well, and the phone was the one place I could actually read Google, you know, Gmail, and so I would use my phone a lot more than I used the web, and now it's. Screwed up on the. I shouldn't say screwed up. It's just a lot harder, I think. I just have to get used to it. Some of it's me just complaining because you get used to one way, and now they changed it. I do like it. Does come with some new. So let's say what I do like. It does come with some more granular options. about turning things on and turning things off. And the settings area has gotten a lot more sophisticated. And so you've got some real-time charts and some graphs telling you usage, and there's some bandwidth metering that you can do for your own sake if you're on a plan. I'm on an unlimited plan on Sprint. But that definitely gets a little bit better. So I don't know. It's 4.04. That's the version I have.
Oh, gee. I made a
big fuss about it, and now I'm kind of...
Three.
You're on 4.03. So 4 yeah. must be the Sprint version.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm sure that's how it forks. Mm-hmm. So we were the last to get it. So anyways, Ice Cream Sandwich is out, and at least for the Galaxy S2, Galaxy S3, I think, has Ice Cream Sandwich, but Jelly Bean is updating maybe as we speak.
Yeah, I think it's Jelly Bean, isn't it, coming out of the chute? Yeah.
Yeah. So for those of you who had to tolerate my Twitter posts, I am definitely sorry. And maybe I'm sorry I upgraded, but like you said, there's no going back.
Yeah, not really.
Christian, did you try out the new, I mentioned this, did you try out the new Outlook.com?
I don't get it. I go to Outlook.com and it goes back to my Windows Live, so I'm kind of confused.
Oh, yeah, that wouldn't be... you must have, at some point, it must have offered to cut you over and you said no, or... so it just automatically takes you to the Hotmail, or I mean to the Live?
Yeah, let me see what it does today. So I go to Outlook.com, and then it goes to login.live.com, and then it comes back to the same screen I see if I'm with the Windows Live Messenger stuff. So let me log out.
While you're doing that, let me just, for folks, we talked about this a little bit last night on the Home Server Show, but let me just bring some folks up to speed in case you haven't heard. So Microsoft on Tuesday released a new totally web enabled email client.
There we go. Now it works.
Oh, good. An upgrade here. I'll show folks what that looks like. An upgrade to what was an offering for Windows for the Windows Live or for Hotmail, and it's just Outlook.com. The ability, and it's really nice. It's got the Metro UI look and feel, and the ability to actually add. In this case, I've added my Gmail accounts, my Google Apps accounts, and I wrote a little blog post about that at theaverageguy.tv. As well as you can get new Outlook accounts. Now, this is, we all race now to get the new my name at Outlook.com. Of course, I went out and snagged Jay Collison because that's what I get everywhere I go. Mm-hmm. But if you're looking for your name, it might be too late already, but check it out, Outlook.com. One of the problems that, so it's we're late in the game at this point, but I was going to show some folks. There is a Microsoft Answers Center. If you're having problems, that didn't switch over in the camera. Let's see, why did that?
I'm seeing.
Oh, are you seeing the answers? Okay, good. I'm having some Google Plus or some Hangout issues at the moment. My screens are really slow, so I apologize for that. But they have a fairly nice forums. But what happened was some people cut over from Hotmail to Outlook.com, and then all kinds of hell broke loose on their email. They couldn't log into their Microsoft services. Email was getting deleted. Once they got the Outlook ID, they couldn't get logged in again. And so I would and that happens every time there's a launch of some kind. But
if it's a Microsoft launch, okay.
Yes, if it's a Microsoft launch. Millions of Hotmail users and folks jumping out there. If you haven't gone out there, I would be cautious about just if you are a Hotmail user, I wouldn't switch over right away. I'd give it a few minutes.
It's not working right.
Yeah. No, it isn't. In preview. Let's just remind folks it is in preview. I like the interface better. Somebody asked why would I want to bring my Gmail into this account, because this does make managing my Gmail account a little bit easier, this interface.
I tried to send somebody a Dropbox link the other night, and it gave them a 404 when they navigated to it. So I took it and dropped it, same link in Gmail, sent it, and they were able to get there. So it's doing something weird. It's glitchy.
So what is it that makes it easier?
The look and feel is a lot easier than being in Gmail. for me. It makes sense. It looks like Outlook and not Gmail. Okay.
That's what you mean.
You know what I'm saying? So I can bring my Gmail accounts into this interface. One of the other things I can do, okay, so I have Jim at theaverageguy.tv. I have podcast at theaverageguy.tv. I have Jim at radracing.org. I have, what else do I have in Google Apps? I have Heartland. I have Jim at heartlandoug.org. Those are all Google managed email accounts, right? When I want to use them today, I've got to log into Google, and then I got to flip between those email accounts to get to them all. In this interface, I can bring them all in, and they're all in one place. And then that when the email comes in, so say I get an email that comes into podcast at theaverageguy.tv, so someone has sent us a note. And by the way, if you want to do that, that would be very nice. I can then, so I get an email from somebody. I can reply back to this email. And then I can even say, hey, I don't want it to go back from podcast at theaverageguy.tv. Let's send this back from any one of the accounts I have registered. So in this case, I want to send it back and have it be from Jim at theaverageguy.tv, not podcast at theaverage. Now, maybe that's not extreme enough, so maybe I can send it back from my live account. So it makes it a very simple interface to kind of manage your email, both receiving and sending. And if you have a bunch of email accounts like I do, it's kind of a nice, simple interface to bring everything into.
It is a nice, clean-looking interface. I'll give it that. If they get the, and they will get the glitches out, but I'm a little annoyed that Microsoft rolled this out and, with some obvious glitches. I mean, gee whiz, shouldn't a link work? You know, but it didn't.
Well, there's some, yeah, Rich, I'm sure. Right now, I'm having trouble with getting my actual James Collison a Gmail account, my actual Gmail account. You know, the one that's not a business or not a Google Apps, but. I can't get it registered right now. It just will not hook in. So, yeah, it's a little buggy. Certainly, if you want to try it, I would not. What a lot of people is they went all in. Well, at least when I was reading the support forums, they were all in, and I don't know if I'd go all in on this yet. I might try one account. But you might want to snag. Like I said, you might want to snag an Outlook. One of the nice things, too, is if you come over and click this down, you can see this kind of got that Metro look and feel. It's got the people hub and the calendar and then access to your SkyDrive right there. So that's kind of nice, all those features being right there. Again, it's trying to replace Outlook, or no, I shouldn't say replace it, but it's supposed to act like it. And then a very Windows 7 feel to this people hub that's here. And so you can come down and find people, and I should probably not show any email addresses in there, so I won't. But let's see, I guess, who's that? There's a Googler. So you can see I have access right in here. I can send a tweet right from there. If I click on that and send a message, it will tweet out to that person right from the contacts page, which is kind of cool. If this Googler had a Facebook account, I could do the same thing. I could send an update to their status page. And then what I found out today over here is the messaging is built into this. So, Rich, you and I could carry on a Twitter conversation or a Facebook conversation from this right-hand pane. And so today, Sarah hit me up on Facebook. Typically, I would do that on the phone, I was able to do it right from within this webpage.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, so I like it. I think we need to be careful, but it's better than the mail app that comes with Windows 8. So if I was upgrading to Windows 8, there's a Metro style app for mail. At this point, I would ditch that and I would use Outlook.com.
It's definitely better looking than the Metro, I would say. Yeah.
So yeah. What are the space limitations, though, on the web version?
You know what? I have not seen a single space limitation at this point.
Because I can't imagine that if the traditional Outlook PST, you know, that racks up gigabytes. I guess
it's all webmail.
No, I know that, but
yeah.
if it's linking accounts, it still has to pull in and download all the data from whatever other accounts you had outside of
Yeah.
Windows Live
Yeah.
services.
What was the limitation in Hotmail? Do you think it matched that?
I
Do
don't
we
think
know?
so, because Hotmail would have been dealing with one account, whereas this thing is dealing with all sorts of accounts.
That's right. You're right. Yep. I don't know.
No, I don't
Interesting.
know the answer. That's a great question, though. What's the storage limit? Right. I had 2,600 emails in my Gmail account. And so, my James Collison at Gmail. When I first set it up, yeah, I know I don't delete anything. Why would I? Right?
I guess.
That's a waste of time.
Wow.
So I just set it up and started importing it in. And Rich, I think I was talking to you when I was doing that, and I would say, okay, I'm up to March.
And, right. Yeah. We were doing it together, actually.
Yeah. And I got up to March and it quit working. That's when it stopped. So maybe they cut me off.
The other reason why this thing isn't working, right? It's you and your contacts and all your emails dragging in.
Maybe they cut me off, Christian. Maybe I tried to import too much email and they cut me off. So.
Yep.
I guess what I'm trying to say is, I see from a perspective of you don't want to go checking your individual Gmails and logging in and out. I can see that.
Yeah.
I guess I don't see the argument for that the Outlook interface is any easier than the Gmail. I mean, the Google stuff is pretty intuitive, and I feel like if I'm in Outlook.com, it's bridging to this live services, whereas with Google, everything looks the same, and I feel like I'm always in the same website, whereas with this stuff, I feel like I'm in an application and then I'm going over to a separate live thing. There's no continuity in what the live products are offering right now. So they have kind of a centralized live look and mesh look and SkyDrive look. And then I get to this Outlook thing and it doesn't look uniformed with that other stuff. So either get it all on the same platform and choose one theme or farm it off as something separate, because I don't see how that makes it easier as opposed to just using Microsoft Outlook or Outlook Express and doing the same thing. I mean, the only real difference I see is that you can access an Outlook-like interface via the web. So if you're not at your computer, you could get that. But if you're in a corporation, normally that's provided with an Exchange. But this is obviously geared more towards the personal user. So I guess I can see that as being the only argument for it at this time.
Well, do we think it's geared for people going to Windows 8?
Definitely. I mean, I think this is definitely the consumer side, but
so I think that's why you got this kind of mixed kind of.
I don't see the continuity though that the same stuff Google does with a consumer end. I mean, it doesn't matter whether I'm in YouTube, Gmail, or looking at my calendar, it's always the same exact theme. I don't feel like I'm in a separate application for everything.
But it hasn't always been that way, right? I mean,
but it is now.
Well, it is now. Sure. And I've got my email up. I don't, Christian, find this to be an easy interface to use. There is so much crap on this page. I'm not saying I can't use it, right? It's just there's so much crap on this page, and it's laid out so it's all jammed together, and I don't like it as much. I don't like when I have to open a email and I want to reply to it. I kind of got to go, dang, how do I reply to this? Oh, it's down here. Okay. And then, it's to me, and this is just my opinion. This is the way I operate. Everybody's got their own way of doing it. Mm-hmm. To me, this is messy. And as opposed to Internet Explorer just stopped working. I wonder what's going to happen here.
Okay. Yes.
Well, that was okay. All right, I had Chrome up, so I think we're okay.
I think you don't have enough tabs open. That's why it's not working.
Yeah, I do have a few open, don't I?
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, I do agree with you, though, that there is a more unified feel, especially when we come into this idea of Google Plus now. And so there's all my Google Plus pieces.
So
and
that's
then,
essentially the people component of what's in Outlook. So let's go back to the Outlook and now tell me how the interface is more robust for doing email there.
Okay, hold on.
Uh-oh.
I think that's what crashed.
All right, I give up. You, Christian wins.
Wow. Well, hold on. So let me bring that back up again. Let's see. Okay, let's bring that back up. Okay, there we go.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. So for me, these are easier. This is easier for me to read. Now, there's not as many emails in there. If this was full of emails, that piece might be completely different. This to me looks better.
And can you explain more why that looks better?
Oh, it looks cleaner to me. There is not a ton. Okay, so they don't, like, for example, they show every single icon on the Google side, right? The star is there, the checkbox is there, everything is there. These only show up when I need them, right? So when I hover over, they appear. When I bring up an email, I have the traditional reply right where I expect it in the upper toolbar right here. So I can click reply, delete. I mean, I expect the controls to be up here in the toolbar, not embedded somewhere down here in the email. That's just for answering email. That's been my big, that's been my one big complaint about it is it's hard for me. The tools are all over the place. So not that big of a difference between the look and feel. This just, and I know the guys don't like Metro, the Metro UI. I like it. I mean, I like it in this. I like this look. Now that's just my own. Everybody's got their own personal, you know, what they like. But I like it. So, is it that much of a difference, Christian? That maybe I'm splitting hairs on this, right? I think it really is just a preference type deal.
No, it makes sense. I just as like a I gotta have it type thing. I don't see that as being justification. No,
I'd agree with you. I think though, if you're in the as we move to Windows 8, and if you're moving into that Windows 8 environment, I think this would be a good time to switch and go, you know, flip, use your Microsoft ID and use Outlook.com. I think it is nice to be able to have multiple email, especially like the Gmail, have the Gmail integration and be able to get to it with one password and to be able to get to it from the web.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. Good talk.
Okay, yeah. No, good stuff. The other thing I'll warn folks of, and this is where it's not finished, this is the Google from 2 years ago, okay? So you drop this down. Oh, you can't see it. Hold on. Let me share my screen real quick. Let's bring that back up. I keep talking about this stuff. So you drop this down, and you go to calendar, and looky there. Look what you have.
Yeah, yeah. Right, right back to Hotmail calendar.
Yeah.
Nice. Sweet. Yeah,
that hasn't been done yet. And,
now, wait a minute. Was that the experience when we were in Windows 8 the other night? Or you? This is Windows 8 for you, right?
Yeah, no, this is still Windows 7, but it's the same
thing.
Why
would they release something that, like, there was definitely a big initial pull to it, and they lost a ton of momentum because they keep doing this stuff over and over. They just put Windows 8 in RTM. They're going to have enough people flocking about that. And they can't take another 2 months to make sure this is ready to go by the time the Windows 8 final comes out.
They really are.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there. That's a good point.
They really are challenged in that area.
So yeah, you get it is nice and intuitive from this standpoint when that looks uniform, right? But as soon as you go to the calendar, or as soon as you go to the SkyDrive, you're back to the old way. So now if Microsoft releases an update for this in the next 3 or 4 weeks, I think they got a winner. I think if it takes them a year or 6 months or they never do it, then I think, you know, then I would be disappointed. Yeah. I'll be honest, I'm starting to like this people hub and the communication and the Twitter and the Facebook messaging. There's Rich trying to talk to me. Did you just send me a note, Rich?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, about 3 minutes ago, 4 minutes ago. Yep.
Yeah. So that's us chatting there in.
Let's see.
In Facebook, right? And you're in.
Oh, I see it. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, you're in Facebook, right? You're not in this.
No, I'm in. I'm typing from the Outlook. Outlook.com.
Okay. Yeah. 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 So, okay, good enough. If you haven't tried that yet, it's in preview. That is definitely an average guy thing. Even setting up the email in the POP3 is not difficult. So it's either just put your email address and your password in, and if it can find it, it'll configure it for you. If it can't, you'll get the advanced options, and then you'll have to go figure out how to do that. But it definitely is an average guy dealio. Christian, what do you got for us?
So I guess I'm kind of going with an interesting deal of the week because I guess now – they're becoming such great deals that I'm starting to wonder, well, when am I looking for what's good for the average guy? So I went to Newegg today, and it's like another huge drop in flash memory and RAM chips. And the Kingston Data Traveler 100, the second generation, the 4 gigabyte model, is $5. Like $5. I mean, even 6 months ago, that would have been $10. So what are we recommending for, you know, is the average guy just looking for a place to store Word documents and carry it across to other computers? Are they looking for drives that actually have some speed? So I guess what do we as geeky consumerism type people tend to gravitate towards? Is the deal of the week the drive that costs $5 now, or is it the one that you pay a little more for and have more reliability and performance? And the problem I'm having is, without going out and buying all these, which I'm getting ready to at this point, it's kind of hard to tell if it does have the same reliability as those higher models and how much that differs. So that's kind of the deal of the week I'm not sure about, if that makes any sense.
I had that exact dilemma this morning when I was looking at Newegg's 3 terabyte external drive that you could get for, I think it was $129 after a promo code.
Right.
For a 3 terabyte Seagate drive, that's a pretty good price. I mean, if you didn't like the external, you could just break it out and throw it into your server or your PC. And what killed it for me is, you have a hard time getting this data, the information correctly, but I saw it had a 1 year warranty, and I says, okay, I don't want that. You know, if it was like 3 year, 5 year, I probably would have bought it. But I'm not going to buy something that's doesn't
have a
warranty.
So you made a purchase decision based on the warranty only?
I did. I mean, I was on the fence about. I didn't really want to spend the money, but I was looking at this and I thought this is a good price for that much storage. Entice me a little bit more, and the warranty just said no. Turned it against.
And which company was this?
Seagate.
Seagate. Yeah.
That was the one that got posted in the Home Server Show forums, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people bid on that. I mean, they had another great deal this morning, too. Acronis, True Image Home, 2012, the software we just reviewed on the last Rich's Random podcast. Yeah. And that's usually, what is it, usually $49? They had a discount on it, and then with a promo code, they knocked it down to $9.99. So I woke up this morning, before I even ate breakfast, I had two of them on order.
And do you think the use for that kind of software is going to decrease as people start having more reliable backup options with the Windows 8 storage stuff that they're doing?
Yeah, it might, you know. But there's other features to this program, like the sync. You know, that you can, if you and I have a Acronis on our PCs, we can sync between each other, and Acronis can manage that. So, I mean, it's just interesting, but also mainly the thing is the way we can use it as a technician tool for backing up on the fly. You get a bad PC, you get a PC come in, before you touch it, you just take an image of it and throw it on your server, and you're good to go. And I'm telling you, for me, it's the best backup. You know, for a technician kind of a thing, it's the best backup and recovery tool to use, because it doesn't matter what size the hard drive is. If the data will fit on the drive, Acronis will put it on that drive.
Uh-huh.
You know, so, yeah.
Interesting. So this is going more into geek than it is tech, but the Mars Curiosity rover plan is going to be about looking at a landing time for the 7 minutes of terror starting at August 6 at 1 a.m. So if you want to get some coverage of that easily, I'd recommend going out to Third Rock Radio, which is NASA's radio station that normally plays alternative music throughout the day. And they're going to have some guys covering it. I know the NASA Edge podcast will most likely be covering it as well. I'm trying to remember
That's Monday?
No, that's Monday. This is Sunday night.
Sunday night, late Sunday night.
Or sorry, yeah, Sunday morning essentially. So it's Sunday morning at 1 a.m. The 5th.
Monday morning the 6th.
Yeah.
At 1 a.m., right.
Sunday morning at 1 a.m.
Okay.
August 6th. And that's really going to kind of propel if it's successful, A, it's huge because the deployment they have to do for MSL being as large as it is really impressive. And if you haven't seen what is involved in doing that, if you head out to NASA.gov and look at, they have all sorts of videos up on it. But
I watched that. It's a series of parachutes.
Yeah. So yeah, and essentially it has to in a very short amount of time slow down from its maximum velocity coming into the atmosphere to nothing. So there's really a lot of cool technology going behind that. We had some people at Langley who were part of that team, some interns who had worked on it. So it's really an impressive feat in robotics, and it'll be great if everything goes successfully on the ground. And really is a, opportunity, and Spirit and Opportunity were workhorses. They were designed to be 6-month rovers, and they survived years and years, and they got really insightful data that they didn't expect to ever get out of the project. So with Curiosity kind of being the lessons learned from that and a whole pack of new goods, I'm really excited to see where they go with that, because I think the data that they're going to be collecting from this is really going to impact the Orion project and how successful that's going to be. So I would watch out for that. I think it's cool. I think it's trending. And if you're into that kind of stuff, it's easy to get that coverage online at no cost. So
it's awesome. I find myself watching NASA TV more and more. NASA's got some really good stuff going on in this.
And I think one of the really huge problems right now that NASA and the public faces is that a lot of people in the public are under the perception, and it's very surprising, but many people in the public are under the perception that because the space shuttle launch program ended, NASA as a whole is just gone. It's been wiped off. There are many people who, in my area, people who live no more than 10 miles away from the center who will say that. And, you know, the average Joe who doesn't really have that kind of technology connection, when they heard that shuttle program was done, I mean, that was really the first big PR moment that kind of really launched public activism and enthusiasm for the space program back in, you know, 69. So definitely, I think projects like Mars, Curiosity rover, Langley just had a successful launch at WALP's test flight facility of IRV-3, which is based off the HIAD, which is the basically one of the, I don't remember the exact acronym, it's something about high acceleration, deacceleration, but basically it's a project that is going to help go towards stuff like Orion, where it's a re-entry module, so it's got a shield that deploys like a mushroom, and then the cargo is shot back down in the atmosphere, and so you save all sorts of costs associated with doing an actual full launch. Whereas with this, you know, like if you had cargo sitting on the International Space Center and you just wanted to shoot it down and you had this IRV-3 deployed, it becomes a lot more efficient. So they're kind of doing a lot of smaller projects to put together Orion. And if Orion does take around 2020, it's going to be huge. I think it's going to bring back a lot of that PR and wonder that I think was lost when the shuttle program ended. But I think we're kind of in a transition stage where NASA's getting more geared more closer towards SpaceX and the commercial industry, and kind of bringing that back into what they're continuing to do to really put together a nice package for United States space technology, which is really exciting. So if you watch things like the Mars Curiosity rover, you're kind of getting an insight into where things are going. So that's really exciting. And especially, I mean, SpaceX, the CEO of SpaceX, Elon Musk, is the co-founder of PayPal. And not only is he technically very bright, very intelligent, but his ability to manage and create successful companies, no matter what the company's goals and directives are, is really, truly impressive. And so his mission has always been with SpaceX, human spaceflight, not cargo flight. So the first commercial space launch that SpaceX completed successfully was cargo. But the engineers always make sure they can fit in the seats to get people on those same kinds of vehicles. So all the vehicles they're designing are designed for both commercial and human. So I think I did mention that once on the show already, but again, it's important to remember we're kind of in, we're starting to merge out of that transition stage where we were trying to make heads and tails of what had come in the last 2 years. So again, staying active with the technology of what's going on with stuff like Curiosity Rover can help give the public more of a more of an insight into of what's going on. So,
yeah, true story. It is. You mentioned SpaceX, and it is good to see the corporate. We've gotten to the point where private sector is able to fund their own projects. So that really is a good indication that we're beyond the exploratory phase where the government needs to spend the money to do it. And we've been able to privatize a lot of that technology. And so I think, you know, you're going to see a lot more private stuff go up now than you're not going to hear a lot about those things either. That's going to be the hard part, is that eventually it'll become pretty pretty common. I mean, boy, the space shuttle had gotten pretty commonplace. I mean, I know people still went out and watched it from time to time, but you would get shuttles that would launch and people would know, you know. And so it's getting to be more and more commonplace in our world. So exciting stuff. I hope that I hope all the calculations were done right and that that rover makes it to the ground safely. Again, NASA.gov, and then just search for the landing of Curiosity. They tested that here on Earth with parachutes, and it's a fascinating series of parachutes that deploy to get this thing to the ground safely. So pretty cool. Hey, can I do some breaking news real quick?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So I need some breaking news music. So
news flash.
So The Verge just reported Microsoft Metro branding to be replaced this week, according to an internal memo. So we just finally figured out what the this is just from The Verge. I have no idea if it's true or not at this point, but what they're saying is that an internal leak at Microsoft has said that Microsoft employees are confirming that discussions with an important European partner led to the decision to discontinue the use of the word Metro in its branding for Windows 8 and other Microsoft products, and that the employees must adhere to it immediately. The Windows team is working on replacement terms, according to the memo, and plans to land on that by the end of the week. Until then, employees have been advised to refer to the Metro-style user interface as Windows 8 style.
So here again, we have this everyone. I mean, they make it too easy to just tear them right apart.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going right from the Outlook talk to, oh, Windows Metro, the unified interface that's going to be from phone to desktop. Oh, never mind, that name isn't going to work. So in addition to their brand name just getting axed, let's see. We have for consumers Windows Phone 8, Windows Pro 8, Windows RT 8, and then for the server line, nah, let's not call it 8. What fun would that be? So let's call that Server 2012, Server 2012 Essentials, and then for the products that we install on that server, nah, let's not call it 2012. Let's put it ahead of year. Let's call it SharePoint 2013, Office Web Apps 2013, and hey, people are really going to say,
like 25 different people are calling the shots on these names.
People are going to say, Microsoft, this is brilliant. I don't know how you came up with a better naming structure.
Well, this is what happens when companies get big.
Mm. Yeah. Get big, get fast, yeah. Get furious. Yeah. However,
and don't have an authoritative dictator at the top.
See, I feel like the naming stuff in the last 3 to 4 years has gotten fun, not just at Microsoft, but I mean, look at Android. Every new release is ice cream or snowflakes.
It's a dessert.
Something bad.
Potato chips.
Yeah, something bad for you that tastes
they're
good.
Desserts is what they are. Android is desserts.
All right.
Or honeycomb or Pop-Tarts or Frosted Cake.
They're working on Pop Tarts right now, by the way.
And then
there's some guys down in the cellar doing that.
No, that's a trademark logo. They can't do that. Come on now. They already learned that lesson from Microsoft.
There's a Dave McCabe reference right there. Very nice, Rich. Way to throw that one in there.
Quite welcome. Quite
and Dave won't listen,
respect.
So you're good to go.
Respect. Yep.
I mean, do we have any? I'm trying to think of any product lines that really solidly make sense as to what the new version is and how it's still unified. Because I think Microsoft has lost that since, you know, they really lost it since DOS. DOS was 1.0, 1.1, 2.0. It was so simple, and then we got to Windows 3.1, and then that somehow just changed to NT, and then that somehow changed to these ME's and XP's and Longhorns and Short Tubes and Vistas and Start Orbs and
Short Tubes. What? That's not what you just threw that in there.
I threw that in there, but come on now. Come on now. This is a billion-dollar company that can't get the naming right. What is their PR department doing?
Yeah, they don't have one. I read an article today, too, that the new Apple advertising that's coming out with the Apple Genius guy. Yeah.
That's getting hammered, too.
Yeah, the article I read is like Steve is just rolling at this point that this is being allowed to go on. So I'm sure there was some corporate executive at Apple who wanted this campaign for the last 10 years.
Tell me about this. I didn't see it.
Oh, so it's an Apple Genius. In about three or four different situations, you know, somebody's having a baby, a guy's on a plane trying to do a presentation, and
I saw that. Yes, I did. Boy, oh yeah,
blue shirt and the lanyard, and
you know, I actually feel bad for Steve Jobs right now. You're right.
Yeah, he never would have let that crap go on at Apple. And
that's Microsoft desk.
Well, yeah, and it's like they compared it to the Dell dude. You know, this Apple Genius, you know, to the Dell dude. And so it's, yeah, but like I said, I've been in corporate America long enough to know that this was somebody wanted to do this for a long time. This And Steve always said no. And so now that he's no longer with us, I'm sure this one snuck by. And, it's somebody's pet project, and now it's a disaster.
Go ahead, run with it.
Yeah, go ahead. Let's give it a try.
Steve, keep running.
Steve didn't know what he was talking about. Before we wrap this up, let me talk about one more thing. Amazon quietly changed their music offering behind the scenes while we were all sleeping over the last week or two. They rolled out some updates to their Android and iPhone MP3. Now, they actually do have an Amazon Cloud music player for the iPhone, which they hadn't had for a long time, and that's now out. So Android, iPhone as well. But the change is they split files and music out. So you have files, you have documents, videos, and what else? What's the other one that they put in there? Documents, videos, and it doesn't really matter. You get 5 gig of that for free, and then they broke the music out as well. You get five. This is the change. In the cloud player, now you get 250 imported songs. That's it. 250 for free. And then after that, they went $24.99 a year for 250,000. So a little bit of change. You know, it used to be 20,000 songs. Or was that, am I thinking of Google? I think it was 5 gig. I was thinking of Google. It was 5 gig worth of music as well. And now they have limited that to 250 songs. That's up there. So they tightened up their music a little bit. But now for 25 bucks a year, now 25 isn't that bad. But
everybody's nickel-diming you to death, you know? I mean, you already bought the songs. You already paid $1 for a song.
Right.
And now they want to...
Well, the $250,000 is just your music. If you buy it from them, they don't count that.
I know.
Yeah. No, I hear you. Christian walked me through the setup of Subsonic this last week, and I gave Subsonic a try. Because I'm really struggling right now. I want to put my music somewhere else. I really don't want to store it on the home server. I'd really like to get it in the cloud. I'd just like it to be accessible from anywhere. I'd like multiple user accounts, those kinds of things. Christian, I got one hang up on Subsonic at this point, is that I'm going to have to buy a new router because I've got that weird thing going on where internally my phones won't work on the Wi-Fi. It tries to resolve, you know, you put the Subsonic, I have collison.subsonic.org that I put in for the server. when it's on the Wi-Fi here at the house, that doesn't resolve. For whatever reason, the router doesn't.
Oh, because of loopback. You know what you could do alternatively? Instead of doing the subsonic.org address, just put in the home server address, jcollison.homeserver.com, port whatever, and that would probably prevent that issue.
I have to try that.
Yeah, because the home server one uses a different DNS structure than the subsonic. I could see why the subsonic one is giving you trouble, because it does this weird IP forwarding process, whereas the home server one is pure DNS, dynamic DNS A records, so I would give that a try.
Okay. Gary's suggestion, because I sent him an email, Gary said, use the second, because in subsonic you get two. You can,
right, yeah.
He said use one for internal and one for external. And I said, I don't know if the wife acceptance factor would work with that. But so I don't know. I was getting ready to go. I mean, I was thinking about Amazon. I was getting ready to move, and then they made this change, and it's kind of like, you know, there's another $50 or $25 a year to pay somebody else, you know, to store my music. We are in the Amazon ecosystem. I don't know. So I've still got some testing to do. Gentlemen, we are at, we're just over the hour. We got time for one more thing if you want to cover it. Christian, Rich, you guys got anything else you want to talk about?
So what Linux operating system are we moving to when Windows 8 comes out?
Wow. Wow. Look at that.
I'm super happy with Windows 7. I don't know why I want to move to all this
stuff. Well, the good news, Christian, is you get to stay on it. You don't have to move.
I'm happy about it. I'm excited. I'm like Windows 7 Lego.
You can ride that for 11 years like XP or whatever.
That's true.
You don't have to go. I do. I talked about this last night. I think I'll put Windows 8 on all our laptops and those kinds of devices as I need to. So as Windows 7 blows out on these devices or I need to reinstall it, I'm okay with Windows 8. It can go on a laptop. On a single screen device, it's great. And if it's got touch, it's even better. But no need to put it on my desktop at this point. It doesn't have great multi-monitor support and struggles with that a little bit. So there's no reason to move off Windows 7 at this point. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah. Ubuntu 12.4, that's what you need to go to, Christian. Ubuntu 12.4. Because that works really well. Wouldn't it be great? Go ahead, Rich.
You guys remember the Revo?
Yeah.
Acer Revo?
Right.
So I'm thinking about repurposing that thing to a Vortex box. I'm going to download a Linux ISO, and I'm going to take my external DVD drive, Toshiba, and I'm going to hook that thing up, and I'm going to use that to rip DVDs and CDs too, and serve music off that. I'm thinking about it. I'm definitely going to try it. I'm going to see how well it works and how well it streams. But if it works well enough, and you know what, I think it's going to work fine. I'm probably going to offload all my music off my server. You know.
And then how will you access it?
Well, I don't access it remotely.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, Pandora. If I want to listen to something, I'll listen to Pandora.
Yeah. And speaking of Pandora, you know that Spotify just last month changed over to a Pandora-like model. And so if you're a Spotify fan or if you haven't used that before, you don't like Pandora for whatever reason, Spotify now has radio and it's supported on both Android and iPhone. And they've got the same exact model. So you have choices now. You don't have to just stick with... If you're a big Pandora fan, but you don't like it for whatever, you know, or they're having problems with it or whatever.
I want to show you that.
You can go on to, what are you showing me, Rich?
See the lock screen? You show me your lock screen.
Yeah. Yeah, it just timed out.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yep, same one.
Okay.
Yep, same one. Okay, well, guys, Christian, bummer we didn't get, maybe, you know, sometimes with Google Hangouts, I need to actually get those guys in my circle before the Hangout actually works.
Yeah.
So not a big deal. Maybe we'll try and get him back one more time or we can do it
all
remote.
Right.
Hey, are you messing with the Raspberry Pi at all?
My coworker is. However, mine doesn't come for another couple weeks yet. Okay. So.
John, you know, we had last night on the home server show, John's got two Raspberry Pis and we were talking about that. So that might be Raspberry Pi Project X, if you understand what I mean, going forward. So.
Neat.
Some good stuff going on with that. Rich, any desire to grab a Raspberry Pi and make some jam?
Nope. Okay. Too many things. Too many things. You know.
Yeah, I'm in that same boat. I'm going to have to live vicariously through other people.
I could definitely play with that thing, you know, and screw around with it and see what there is to it. But I got so many things to do.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping to wrap this up and get myself to bed. I've been staying up watching the Olympics till 1 in the morning each night, and that is not a smart thing to do. I remind folks that if they want to contact the show, send us emails of things you'd like us to cover. I got some good comments. In fact, Christian, I got a comment from, let me see, who is somebody? It was somebody on Twitter who said the mobile, that they were struggling to see the AverageGuy.tv on an iPad. And so I went out this week and fixed that and actually deployed a new theme for that. It still could be better, but you know what? It works on the iPad right now. So if you were struggling to get a hold of it on your Android phone, your iPhone, or your iPad, you get the AverageGuy.tv through those devices as well. I just updated and fixed that. So if you've got questions or comments, send them to me, Jay Collison, on Twitter, or the podcast at theAverageGuy.tv. That'll get us there, and we'll do this all over again next Thursday evening, I think, 8 o'clock p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. Join us, and we'll do it all over again. Hopefully I'll have a little more rest. Christian, you'll be on your last days. You going to be able to join us next week?
Hoping.
Okay.
We'll see.
All right. Hopefully we'll have some interns, and we can find out what's going on. And then don't forget, 2 weeks from now, JPEG Raw is on the show. And get out there and sign up for the Drobo and click on a few links on the site. And if you're going to buy anything from Amazon, come through theAverageGuy.tv. Everybody have a great night. We'll see you back here next week. Good night.
Night.
Thank you, Christian.